praise and worship will bring victory in your life. It makes you look better. I'm going to prove it by God's word. It makes you look better. You just look better when you praise God. I'm going to tell y'all a story. I praise the Lord. I don't know if you've realized that. And when I praise here, it's like the least amount of praise that you'll ever see me do. Well, you won't see me do the other praise because it embarrasses me. I mean, I praise the Lord with everything in me. The old time church used to call it this, getting ugly for Jesus. And we, you know, because now we're so pretty in church. You know, we raise our hands. We look so nice. We look so sweet. But there was a time in the church's history that we praised the Lord till makeup ran off. Hair was all messed up. There was a need for prayer cloth. You know, I don't know why they called them prayer cloth. That was cover up every inch of your body cloth because clothes were flying. All right, y'all didn't grow up in church like that. I did. I grew up, there was a reason to have those things. I grew up in church where you praise the Lord, where the Spirit of God would fall and praise would come upon the church. And there was great victory that came in the church in praise. There is something about praise and worship. Now, we might not even get to my notes this morning, but that's all right. There was one time that a good Christian, full in the word of God, told me this one time. Pastor, I don't come to church until I know praise and worship is done. And I mean, I wanted to say, what's your problem, Jack? But I said, oh, please enlighten me. So if you ever hear me tell you, please enlighten me, it's because I don't understand a word you just said. He's like, I don't do that. We need to stay in the word. The church needs to do nothing but the word, nothing but the word. It's only the word that brings power, only the word that brings victory. Well, I mean, like, well, that's in my response was, that's why we pick the songs we do. They're full of the word. They're full of the word. We sing the word. We dance to the word. We stand on the word. Now, my mother was crazy. She still is. But this is the good news. She's crazy in a good way. And, the apple don't fall far from the tree. I don't know if you notice, I can be a little crazy sometimes. Just a little. But my mother used to embarrass me. She would embarrass me with the Lord, you know. But she would embarrass me just when it came to the church. I remember one time I came home, windows were down on the bus, and just as soon as we stopped in front of my house, you could hear my mother screaming. And not like help me, you know, like scary, there's a spider screaming, but praising Jesus screaming. Like, Lord, help me, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. No, y'all don't do that? All right. And I'm here like, oh, gosh, my head just sunk. I'm here like, that's my mama. Dear God, help me. And I get off. The door is open. As I'm walking to the house, my mother has a piece of paper on the ground. And she is praising the Lord, and she is dancing around the piece of paper. And I came inside. I know, that's what I first thought. What? I came inside and said, Mama, what are you doing? The whole neighborhood can hear and see you. What in the world are you doing? And she said, son, I'm bringing victory in my house. And so she got a piece of paper and she wrote everything that was bothering her, everything that was coming against her, everything she was believing God for. And she put it down and she began to praise God that she had the answer before she ever saw it. Because praise is an act of faith. Praise is, you might not see the result that you're looking for, but you're praising God because you understand God said, I will make you more than a conqueror. You'll be more than victorious. So praise comes out of that heart. Praise does not come out of the situation you're in. It's easy to praise when everything's paid off. It's easy to praise when everything's going well. It's easy to praise when your health is where it needs to be. It's easy to praise when your kids were quiet all night and you got all your sleep. It's easy to praise in those moments. It takes a sacrifice of praise when you don't feel like it. And sometimes you've got to put on. The Bible says put on the things of the Lord. And if you look it up, it means like putting on clothing. And sometimes we got to put on, praise just like we would a jacket. Or let's just say any clothing. You know, you can go to work the way you woke up. And that can be very dangerous for a lot of you. But it's much better to put on praise. So when you come to church, you better put some things on. When you get out of your house, you need to put some things on. And we need to put on certain things, and praise needs to be one of them. Let's turn to Psalms chapter 105. Oh, I didn't tell you the rest of the story. My mom, when I came in and told her, what in the world are you doing? She grabbed my hand and said, dance with me. I'm like, that's exactly what I was looking for. I said, one moment, and I shut the door. Psalms 105 and verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Where are you right now? You're in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmaments of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellence, greatness. Praise him with the sound of trumpets. Praise him. And so we go on through this whole deal. And it talks about harps and with dance. Verse 4, it says with dance. Praise him with string instruments, organ. I like praising God with an organ. I do like that. Verse 5, praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I like that because God says everything that has breath, praise the Lord. And then it doesn't stop there. And it says praise ye the Lord. So I'm going to take a quick survey. Everybody that is breathing with you, please raise your hand. I'm looking. Hold them up. I'm still looking. I think there's two people we need to pray for because they don't have breath this morning. But if you have breath this morning, breath is coming out of your body. God says, praise the Lord. Now, notice he didn't say, if you're breathing, I would like you to praise the Lord. It would be a good thing if you would choose to do so. No, it's a commandment from God to praise him. It is a commandment from God to praise him. I don't know if I should tell that story. It's funny, though. It's funny. One time I was on an airplane. I was on an international trip, and I just started praising God in my seat. You know, not out loud. Not like, you know, you ain't got to be weird about it. You ain't got to be, strange. But I was in my seat, and it was a crowded plane, and I began to praise the Lord, and I'm, you know, singing to myself in my head. And you know it's bad when you sing to yourself in your head, and you still hit a note that ain't good. And so I'm praising the Lord in my head. And the Spirit of the Lord falls. I mean, just falls in the plane. And I feel like I want to stand up and shout. But I know I'm going to be tased by a marshal. So I'm decided that I need to get to a place where I can praise the Lord. So I get up and I go to the restroom, right? I go to the restroom to praise the Lord. Because, one, I'll be by myself and I can praise God. Well, I didn't realize that the tiny places, right? Yeah. The tiny. So I'm trying to move and praise the Lord, and I end up rocking back and forth like this. I did not realize in the midst of me praying, because it's loud. It's loud in that bathroom. Not because, you know, just the engine noises and the air, when you get to, it can be kind of noisy in there. And so as I'm doing, my rear end happens to be hitting the door. And so it's banging on the door. Do you know that they can open the door if they think that you're in trouble, even if it's locked? Really? Yeah, they can. So they thought I was in a little bit of trouble. So my hands are up and I'm rocking, praising the Lord. And I just remember, sir, are you okay? And I turn around and there's a stewardess. And I said, yeah, I'm good. She says, oh, well, the door kept getting hit and was kind of opening a little bit at the bottom where the latch wasn't. And we just wanted to make sure you were okay. I'm like, I'm good. Thank you. And so then when I come out, like, everyone turns to look at me as I walk back to my seat. So I'm not saying that you won't get embarrassed by praising the Lord. You might have a moment like I did there. But we are commanded to praise the Lord. It should be something we do. I praise God at my house. I praise God. There's a certain way I praise when Jesse's watching, and there's a certain way I praise when she ain't watching.
That's right.
And because I like to praise. Sometimes praise can be a private thing.
That is.
It can be a private thing. And so I praise the Lord, and it's a private thing. I remember one time I was living in someone's house. They let me stay in their home for a period of time. And I went to my bedroom, and I jacked the music up because I needed to praise God. And I didn't realize that it was bothering the other people. And so they came, and I didn't have a lock on my bedroom door, and my back was turned. So I was, that's what, you gotta be turned toward the door. That's the key. You gotta be looking toward the door. And they came in, and as I turned around, they were just like deer caught in headlight look. And they said, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm praising Jesus. And they said, that is not praising the Lord. I said, oh, yes, it is. That is praising the Lord. And so we need to praise God. God says in the sanctuary together, but we need to be able to praise God in the private times by ourselves. And it ain't got to be out loud if you're at work. It can be an internal praise, but it is something that we need to do and have on our lips all the time. So verse 1 is telling us to praise God in the church and outside the church. Now, I like to say that because some people don't understand that they should praise God outside the church. Now, I know you understand that. I know you get that. But this is going to help you get other people to praise God. You should praise God in your home. Find the music you like, the Christian music that you like. It's all out there for everybody. And praise the Lord to it. Yes. Amen. Sing a new song. Yes. Sometimes you don't need music. Sometimes all the music needs to be is in your head. Yes. What's wrong with y'all people looking at me like that? Now, we are to praise God for his mighty works and just for who he is. We're to praise God for what he's done for us, but we're to praise God just because he is God. You might say, well, I had someone tell me one time, this is just ignorance gone to seed, absolute ignorance gone to seed. I don't really have anything to praise God about. I'm like, you are ignorant. You are breathing. You have blessing in your life and you can't see it. Sometimes people get bitterness in their life, or they get upset, or they get angry, and they can't see past their own pain, which is just a short period of time. If you measure their lifespan, just a short period, they can't see past the pain, so they get angry. They get bitter. And I don't understand how people get upset with the Lord. I've always been under the mentality of if you're upset and something's not going quite right in your life, it wasn't God's fault. It was probably more of yours. You know, that might be... Is that a little too real for a lot of church people this morning? I've never blamed God for anything wrong in my life because he is not the author of bad things. He says he is the author of all good things in our life. So everything good comes from him. But this is it. It says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. We already took a poll in here. Everyone except for two people is breathing. And so we are to be praising the Lord. Now, this chapter here is leading up to this. Yes, it is great to praise God with a keyboard. Yes, it's great to praise God with your drums and the bass and all these nice things. It talks about the instruments, the harps, and all these things to praise God with. But they are not redeemed. They have not been made righteous. You know, I believe we're going to have keyboards in heaven. Why people act shocked all of a sudden. Did you not think that far in advance? We're going to have keyboards in heaven. We're going to have drums in heaven. Do you know there's been an assault against drums in the church? Yeah. And well, first of all, I don't get it. I don't get why people don't. They somehow drums are evil. I don't know. Have you ever heard of that? Yeah, that's ridiculous. That's actually more than ridiculous. That's redonkulous. You need. It is so ridiculous. It's out. It's insane. Because this right here does not have a soul. It has no soul. When the earth is destroyed, this will be left behind. This will not go up to heaven, and it will not go down to hell. Neither will drums, okay? They're not going to go up to heaven. They are not going to go down to hell. That's like saying the internet's going to go to hell. It's not going to heaven or hell. I believe internet is an invention of God. What you do with an invention of God is up to mankind to make it either good or evil. But the inanimate object is neither good nor evil. And so there are going to be drums in heaven. I believe there's going to be instruments that we have never seen or heard of or fathomed in our mind that are going to be in heaven. I'm going to tell you something. There's going to be people playing the spoons in heaven. Mm-hmm. There's going to be people playing the washboard and have a jug and they're going to be blowing in it. It's going to be a Coca-Cola bottle. I'm just telling you what's going to be there. There are going to be these things there in heaven. There's going to be all types of music, everything from bluegrass to gospel to everything you can think of. There's going to be music in heaven. Music is an invention of heaven. It is an invention of God. And so praise and worship is going to be there. And so there are all instruments going to be in heaven. So don't get a mentality that certain instruments are evil. Can I say this too? I heard this. This is very, very weird. There was a drummer. I was asked one time by a pastor who said, do you believe that drums can give out a message like tongues and then someone can interpret it? And I was trying to be very nice because I thought, what if he believes this? I have to be very interested in how I'm a guest at this church. I need to be very careful how I answer. So I said, no way. Just absolutely no way. He said, good. He's like, my drummer believes. So the drummer believed that he could play music and that somebody could interpret it in the spirit. That's called tongues and interpretation, and it only works that way with the spirit. An instrument is not going to be able to give off a word by God. It is the people play. The anointing does not come from the instrument. The anointing comes from the person playing it.
Right.
That's correct.
David played a harp for the king, King Saul, and it said an evil spirit left him. It had nothing to do with the harp and everything to do with David. Mm-hmm. I'm glad we're talking about this morning. So let's talk a little bit about praise and worship. Are you ready?
Yep.
Praise and worship unites all believers with all creation. All right, let's turn to Psalms. We got a lot of scripture. Some I'm going to have you turn to, and some I'm just going to go straight to. Psalms chapter 69, and we're going to go to verse 34. It says, let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves therein. Now, all creation praises God, whether you see it here or don't even understand it. All of creation praises God. Do you know even in Psalms it says, let the trees clap their hands.
Yes, exactly.
Let the floods clap their hands unto the Lord. Now, you don't go out and you're not going to see a tree bending its branches and clapping. But the Bible is telling us all of creation praises the Lord. Everything in creation praises God. Out in the very ethers, every planet is praising God. Every ring that goes around a planet praises the Lord. The sun praises God. Everything that God has created praises him. You might not see it. You might not hear it. But there will be a day that you will see it and you will hear it. Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Do you know something that breathes? Deer breathe. Dogs breathe. Cats breathe. Plants breathe. They will praise the Lord. Now, I can see some of you going a little tilt. That's all right. You ain't got to understand that. And you might say, Pastor, I think you're wrong. If I'm wrong, what does it matter? Nothing. But I'm right. And when you get to heaven, you'll figure that out. Now, the Bible tells us that the trees, the rivers, the oceans will cry out and praise the Lord. The Bible tells us that the flood will clap its hands, that the trees will clap their hands. And this is what I want to say this morning. If the trees and also it says that the rocks will cry out to him. If that is the case, I am not going to be outdone by a tree. And I will not be outdone by a rock. Jesus did not die for the tree. He did not die for the rock. He died for me. And I refuse to allow a tree have better praise than me.
Yep.
And I have been in some churches that are in praise and worship. I would have rather been in the woods with the trees praising the Lord.
Yeah.
Nobody name one of them right now. Have you ever been there during praise and worship? Mm-hmm. I've been there myself. It is so dead. Never mind. And you ain't got to run, shout, and dance to have good praise and worship. I'm not saying that. I've been in good Baptist churches that don't, you know, you get kind of wild like Pentecostal churches, and they have good praise and worship. All right. Psalms 89:5 says, the heavens shall praise the wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. The heavens shall praise the Lord. You know what that means? The planets shall praise the Lord. The stars shall praise the Lord. The comets shall praise the Lord. The stuff that's out there that we don't know about shall praise the Lord. I'm not, all right, I know where some people's mind went immediately. I'm not talking about little green men. I'm not talking about that. But you want to know what? Someone asked me one time, they said, do you believe that there's intelligent life out there? I said, absolutely. God's out there.
Yes.
He's out there. There's intelligent life out there. He's out there. I said, no, that's not what I'm talking about. That's not what I'm talking about. Like aliens. Do you believe that there are aliens out there? I said, I don't know. But if there are, they praise the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Just like we do. They praise God just the same if they're there. So everything that is in the heavens praises the Lord. Now, it's great for the planets and the stars that are making music, but God would rather hear it from you. Now, you might say, that's insane. So I got a clip of something. Now, if for all my nerds out there, I fit in. I'm not slamming you. We fit in the same category. I get geeked out by a lot of things. And so I did a research. When I was preparing for some things, I just Googled, do planets make sound? Do they make noises? And to my shock, they do. They do make noises. Stars make noises. Now, let me get out there for all you brainiacs. It can't make noises because it's a vacuum, and sound doesn't travel through a vacuum. Oh, you didn't know that. Yeah, you're right. Like, sound waves that we know of do not travel through vacuums. But you know what does travel through vacuums? I can't remember the name of the word. But it is a vibration that the planets give off that does travel. And guess what? It makes noise. So I have a sound of planets that's on the desktop. I didn't put that one into the program. Do you have that ready for me? It's about a minute long. I want you to hear this. Now, the Voyager was one of the first probes that NASA sent out. And you know why they named it the Voyager? They were all nerds. And they watch Star Trek. So I've got all my Trekkies in here. Let's all go to a convention together. It'll be fun. I knew I could get people excited about something. And so in all this, they named it the Voyager. One of the things they did, they put a camera on it to take photos. The camera quit working pretty quickly. That's disappointing. I mean, if you're going to put a couple $1 billion in space, buy a good camera. And so not only that, but they put microphones on it to be able to listen. And when they passed, NASA actually released 6 CDs of sounds of the heavens, sounds of the planet. I think it's called Symphonies of the Planets. And as they passed each planet, they found out that each planet made its own noise. And so we're going to play one of them. Now, this is unedited. It's edited. I shortened it because it's like 50 minutes long. So I shortened it to 1 minute. But there's nothing done to this. This is the exact sound that the Voyager picked up. Can you go ahead and play that for me? Imagine being on something out there and hearing this. That would be a little fun. That's just 1 minute of them. I forgot what planet it was, but passing by a planet. How interesting that the heavens are filled with sound. And there are galaxies upon galaxies upon galaxies upon galaxies upon galaxies. And they're all crying out the praises of the Lord. Do you know the earth makes a sound? In its movement. You might ask, how in the world? Because these things are oscillating and moving, and it makes a noise. That is so interesting to me. And they found out that comets have their own noises. Planets have their own noises. The rings that go around the planets make their own noises. The sun makes its own noise. And it all comes together. There was a video. There was one sound out there, a music where they put together the sounds of the planet into a tempo. And it was so interesting. There's one planet out there that sounds exactly like drums. It sounds just like someone beating drums. And they put that with another sound of a planet, and they just put them all together, and it was pretty awesome. So I got one more thing that is actually, I don't know if you ever heard of this. There's actually a CD of crickets. Have you heard of that? It's pretty interesting. Now, they slowed the crickets down, the sound, 500 times. And it, now, I'm, the sound you're about to hear is unedited, except that I shortened it. I shortened it. But this sound is of crickets playing, but it's just slowed down to 500 times. Can you go ahead and play that for me? Now, there's no editing in this. Nothing was added to it. So the guys that did this, one of the originals, I was researching it to find this out. They said that one of them was a believer, and when he slowed it down, and he wasn't expecting to find anything like this. He said it made him weep because he said it sounded like human voices, and that it got to a point where he almost heard the word hallelujah over and over and over and over again. Now, it's interesting. You probably not, you may have never studied the word hallelujah, but hallelujah by some of the biblical scholars believe that that is the word the Lord used when he created the heavens and the earth. That he said when he created everything, that the word came from hallelujah. So it would be interesting to me that even the plants, the animals would cry out hallelujah. Isn't that interesting? So every animal, every breath that cries out the creation and prays to the Creator. So this all the earth, all the planets, all this noise is praising the Lord and entering the throne room of God. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Isn't that interesting? Now, this is something. What is the earth? The earth is a big rock, a big marble. Bible says the rock shall cry out. All the planets out there are big rocks. They are humongous rocks. And we have already heard the sound of one of the planets. The rocks are crying out 24/7 praises to the Lord. Not going to, they are. They are right now. From the beginning of creation, the planets have cried out the praises of its Creator. But this is it. It's great for the world. It's great for the plants. It's great for the animals. It's great for the crickets. It's great for, Mars and all these planets to cry out to the Lord. But none of them are redeemed. None of them were the blood of Jesus shed for. It was shed for you. It was shed for me. It was shed for our neighbors. It was shed for our family. It was shed for our friends. And we should do better than the planets. We should do better than the crickets. We should do better. God, it's wonderful that these things cries out for, but it's his people, his sons and daughters, that he wants to hear the crying out to him more than anything. And you know, it's one thing, I used to ask my daughter when she was just learning how to speak, I'd be like, Eliana, I'd be like, do you love me? Do you love daddy? And she'd be like, yes. And sometimes she would say, no. And I would say to myself, you little punk. No, I'm just kidding. I never said that. I thought, she's just a kid. She has no idea what she's saying. And then I'd go cry in the fetal position in my bed. No, that's not true either. But there came a point, and I still remember the first day she ran up to me and she hugged me and she said, Daddy, I love you. And I didn't coach. I didn't give her candy. I didn't give her money. She just came up and told me that she loved me. And I still remember. I still remember the first time she came up to me and she said, "Daddy, you're my best friend." Oh. All right, I got to go for a moment. I'll be right back. It is so dusty in this room. No, I remember that. I remember that. But it was, my dreams were crushed because after 2 seconds, she said, "No, my best friend's Michael." Thanks, Michael. Appreciate that. Her friends at church. No, but later, Michael, she bumped you and made me her best friend again. But I remember when she told me these things. They blessed my heart. And it's one thing for someone I don't know. It's one thing to have admiration from an animal, a dog that will run up and glad to see you. But it's another thing when it's your own children. And so God is great that these things are praising the Lord, but who God really wants to praise him is his children. And it pulls on the heart of God more than it pulls on our hearts when our kids tell us, "We love you. We're so thankful for everything you've done for us." And out of a thankful heart is where praise comes from. Now, why do we praise? Psalms 33, I'm going to let you turn there. Psalms 33, and we're going to go to verse 1. We're going to look at reasons why we praise God. Psalms 33 and 1 says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright." Now that word comely is nave, nave. It is the Greek word 5,000, if you want to look it up in the Strong's or the Concordance. It means beautifully, seemly, proper, and fitting. God is telling us that when we praise God, it's beautiful. It looks good on you. Praising is fitting for you. When you praise the Lord, it looks good on you. You look better when you praise God.
That's right.
To the Lord, you look better when you praise him. All right, I can give you, I see I need to give examples of this. Now, my daughter, and this is what I have to draw from, so this is where you're going to get my stories from. I've had my daughter act like a hellion. I know none of you believe that she's possible of doing that, where she has thrown a fit. She has done wrong. I've sent her to time out. We've done everything we know to do. She's driving me nuts. And then she runs up to me. Now, this doesn't happen all the time, but she runs up to me and she says, "Daddy, I love you. I love you." And at first, it was hard to send her to time out with that. And then she learned that if she just, you know, buttered me up, she could get out of things. And so then I had to learn that I have to still put her in time out. I still have to follow through with consequences, even though she comes and bats those little eyes at me and says, "I love you, Daddy." But it can take all those problems that I've been dealing with, all the mess, all the loudness, all the throwing, the tantrum tantrums that she's just had, and she can come up and show admiration and praise to me, and all of a sudden the world's just made right again. And her tantrum tantrum, she looked horrible. She looked terrible. I was here like, "That's your child, Jesse." I'm like, "That one's yours." And she could throw all these fits. But when she puts on praise, when she puts on thanksgiving, she just looks better. Oh, yeah. She melts my heart. And I'm going to tell you something. We can murmur and complain through the world. But when we put on praise, we look better to God. But the scripture doesn't only tell us that it causes us to be more beautiful, more seemly. It's proper and fitting that we praise the Lord. It's fitting to praise our Father. It's fitting to give admiration to the Lord. Now, praise is an act of faith. It's the voice of faith before the answer is ever seen. There's been times that in the natural, you should have never praised God. In the natural, it looks like you should have given up, you should have quit, you should have sat down, you should have cried all day long. And I'm not against you crying. We all have our moments. We all have our time. But we shouldn't live there. Right. We should not live there. Yes. We shouldn't live in disappointment. We shouldn't live in problem. You know, because there are other people that can cause us grief sometimes. But we shouldn't live in the grief. We shouldn't live in bitterness. Bitterness and grief is a killer. Yep. Yes. It will rob you. You want to know what it'll rob you of? It'll rob you of your dreams, your goals, your visions. If you want to complain, I have every right to complain. Go ahead. Yeah, you do. You have every right to complain. But it will steal from you. It will steal all that God wants to do for you and calls you. Because, you know, the Bible says that your words are powerful. That we hold on to our confession of faith. We hold on to it. And when we praise God, it is a confession of our faith. And we have, the Bible says, we have whatever we say. We have whatsoever we say. So if we go down in the dumps all the time, I think somebody used to call them Debbie Downers. So if you're a Debbie or you know a Debbie, I'm sorry. If your mama was named Debbie, I apologize. But, you know, that saying Debbie Downer, you come with the greatest news. Oh, well, you know, you can tell, I'm going to Disney World. Oh, they oppress people. Oh, it's so terrible. I got free cable. Cable. Oh, gosh, one person died when they touched the cable line one time. Be careful. You know, they always have a downer to say with something you have good to say. You can live that way, but you're going to rob yourself of joy 24/7. You're going to have what it is that you were saying. So if you're always negative, you're going to live in a very negative world.
Right.
I'm going to tell you something. You attract what you are. Isn't it interesting? This never ceases to amaze me. I don't know if I haven't watched many of these shows. Those people that are addicted to stuff. It amazes me that they can go to a room. They can go to a doctor's office. They can go to a party. They can go anywhere. And if they are addicted to crack, they'll find every crack dealer in the room. It's like they are attracted to them. There is a spiritualness about that. If you are a positive person, you find positive people. If you have it's interesting. If we have something we enjoy in our life, whether it's hunting, fishing, shopping, I don't know, put whatever it is that you like doing in there, you find the people that enjoy the same thing you do. Why? Because there is a law of attraction. And so if you surround yourself with being positive, and let me tell you something, this is not some mumbo jumbo that is taught in the secular world. This will work for secular people, but when the world washes out from underneath them, they better be standing on the solid rock, which is Jesus, or they will crumble just like everyone else.
Yeah.
See, because your positivity does not come out of you just trying to be positive. Your positivity comes out of knowing that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Your positivity comes out of knowing that God will turn every situation around to benefit those who love and serve Him. So we don't praise God because of the problem. We praise God in spite of the problem because the problem is temporal. The problem will disappear. We will outlast the problem and God will cause the problem to turn around and bless us.
Amen.
What was meant to curse us, God said, I'll turn around and make it bless you. That's what I like about the Lord. That's one of the things I like about him. He says, you know what? You're going to mess with my kids. You're going to mess with them. What you meant to hurt them, I'm going to make it turn around and bless them. I'm going to cause it to bless you. So if you're going through something hard that was created by somebody on purpose, just sit down and you can look at all the mess that's going on and say, I don't know how this is going to turn around. I can't see how this outcome will turn around and bless me. But you know what? God said it will. So you can throw a party. You can praise God right there, not because of the problem, but because of the outcome.
Right.
And you may not have any problems in your life at all right now. You've got a whole lot to praise God for.
Amen.
Oh, I was just yesterday sitting talking with my lovely wife. I think it was yesterday or the day before. And I said, you know what, Jess? We are so blessed. We are so blessed. I am so thankful. Everything's not exactly the way I want it. I don't have everything it is that I want, but you know what I found out? When I get the stuff I want something more. Isn't that crazy? Apparently we never grow up from children. Just as soon as we get everything on our list, we have a whole new list of awesomeness. And then when we move on up, we find out that other people have more things and nicer things we didn't even know that was there. I was so excited when I found a website that said the name of it is thisiswhyimbroke.com. It is amazing things out there I never knew existed. And so it's not about us getting everything we want, so that's what's going to bring the praise. I look back at where I come from. I looked at where I used to live. I looked at what I used to think was good and where I am now. And can I go ahead and tell you this? My home, the first home I ever bought, which is the home I'm living in now, the only home I've ever owned, is greater than anything I would have ever expected my first home to be. And it really was a miracle from God. It really was. And we've even had people ask us, how does a pastor live in this? Y'all must have wealthy people in your church. I say, yes, we do. But that's not why we have what we have. We have what we have, one, because we're out of debt. That's what's amazing about it. Being out of, we could have never afford our home if Jesse had $50,000 of school loans. Thank you for not going in that much debt before we got married. We decided to live our marriage out of debt. Even in the car that we own, we paid cash for. Wasn't new, it was new to us. Why? Because I didn't think it was worth going into debt for. I just didn't. And so I followed the principles that I feel the Lord has laid on my heart. And so that is allowing me to walk in things that I would never be able to walk into if I didn't obey what I felt the Lord led me to do in the first place. And so my praise is coming out. I'm so thankful. If you would see the town I lived in, we were the poorest county in the state of Florida. I brought my lovely wife home with me, as you should. didn't leave her here, but I'm going to Florida. You stay here. So I took her home with me, and I showed her around my community. And I didn't. It took me having her with me to realize how bad it was. About 10 years of me not living there, it took 10 years for me to realize that my hometown is a mission field. You know, I've told this before. One home, and this was normal to me. I grew up this way. Now, my family did well, which I'm very thankful for. My family did well. We were poor at one time, and then we were very wealthy at another. So I'm very thankful. I've been rich, and I've been poor. And can I just say wealthy is much better?
It is.
Can I just say that? It is much better to live very wealthy than it is to be in poverty.
Right.
I've been in both. And so I like living with wealth versus poverty. And, you know, wealth is different to every person. Biblical wealth is being able to pay all your bills and having money left over. That's biblical wealth. And I like being wealthy by the Lord's definition. And so there was one place that back home where somebody had a hole dug in the ground and they drove a bus in it. And then they buried it so that it would be insulated. And someone lives in that. Someone lives in that. That's their home. And Jesse had to point that out, that was not normal. We have a place that we call a mansion. Sarcastically, we call it a mansion. It is a square box, and a family of four lived in it. A family of four. There's no insulation. It's just plywood thrown up with a roof thrown on top of it. And that was the community I lived in. There, when a truck breaks down, it stays right where it was. They, you know, they don't remove it. They pile trash up. Kids, for fun, around the house would have garbage cans outside and let rainwater fill up, and then that would be their swimming pool. That's the community I grew up in. And honestly, by every means, I shouldn't have moved out of that. I should have stayed right there. But only by the hand of the Lord.
Right.
And I'm so thankful. I look at where maybe you didn't come from such poverty, but I look at where I came from. And I look at where I am, and I have so much to be thankful for. And it makes my problems. Whenever I look at where I came from, it makes my problems that I'm facing look so minute, so tiny, so small. And I realize the blessing of the Lord that is on my life. Sometimes we need to look back at where we came from to see how blessed we truly are. So, yeah, okay, you've moved up. Internet in airplanes. You know, have you been flying lately? They have internet in the planes. Yes, it's amazing. It's amazing that you could surf the web on your airplane. And I was on a plane, and I was flying on Delta, right? And they were telling us they just installed it on this plane. It's brand spanking new. And so they have it, and they're offering it for free. You know what? They learned something from crack dealers. They're going to let you taste it. They're going to let you try it, get you hooked, and then they're going to charge you for it. So Delta was trying to get us all addicted to online internet while we're flying. And so they gave it out for free, and I'm on it, and I'm loving it. I'm loving surfing the web. It's so awesome to be able to update and, you know, do all this stuff on while you're flying. And so while we're flying, the guy beside me, the internet goes down. It shuts off. And you know, people start complaining. Blah, 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 where's the internet? Blah, blah. And so then the stewardess, flight attendant comes over the intercom and she says, I am so sorry. We're having problems with the internet. We'll try to get that up and running as soon as possible. Thank you for understanding. And the guy beside me says, oh, wouldn't you know it? Oh, I can't believe this. This is just ridiculous. Why can't they get it to work? And I wanted to say to the guy, you didn't even know this was in existence until like 10 minutes ago. And you expect it to be working in your life 24/7? Come on. We're in a plane above the ground. 100 years ago, this was not possible. I mean, like, look at the miracle. We've gone from planes that could barely lift off to jets. You used to go from New York to California. You were a whole different family, and most of you died of diphtheria. That's a great video game, isn't it? Oregon Trails, if you missed that. Yeah, I love that game. I actually have that on my phone now. But so... it's so easy to get to a place where the blessing is so great in our life that we forget we haven't been here that long. Yes. And we put such a demand and we think we have to go so much higher. Yes, we're going. God never leaves us where he found us. He's going to keep bringing blessing into our life. He's going to keep moving us into great places. But remember where you come from. Remember what it was you used to live. Remember what it was like before you even knew the Lord saved your life from death, hell, and the grave. Remember where you would be if it wasn't for Jesus. You got a whole lot to be thankful for. You might say, well, you know, something's not working quite right. How long have you even had that in your life? Let's be thankful right where we are. Our thankfulness doesn't come out of this is where we're only going to be. Our thankfulness comes out of God never leaves us here. We can be satisfied right where we are because God is going to bring us into greater things. Greater, greater things. Spiritually, physically, natural, every way, shape, and form. God is going to bring increase into your life. And so our praise comes out of being joyful. Our praise comes out of understanding who God is. Faith and praise looks good on us. It's proper and it is fitting for us to bring that praise to the Lord. I am running out of time here. Number three, praising God. We should be praising God in church. I don't need church. Oh, you don't know the word. I don't have to go to church. You don't know the word. God didn't say, I would ask you not to forsake the assemblies of yourself together if it fits in your schedule. That's not quoted properly. It says, forsake not the assemblies of yourself together, especially in the latter days. Question, has anybody been more latter days than today?
Nope.
No. So today is the most latter we've ever been in our life. And God says, forsake not the assemblies of yourself together. The Bible tells us to come together. I'm just going to read these scriptures, write them down. Psalms 22:22. I declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of thy congregation, I will praise thee. We should praise God in church. Psalms 35:18. Write that down. It says, I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise ye among much people. We should get together and praise the Lord. We should come to church. We should come to church with the mentality of we're going to praise God today. Can I tell you something? When I was younger, I used to pray, Lord, let my praise help other people. And I'm going to tell you something else. I used to sit in the front. You want to know why I would sit in the front? I found the people that sat in the front danced a little more. They moved a little more. And I'm going to tell you, praise is infectious. Yes. It is infectious. You get around somebody that praises God, it makes you want to praise God a little more. Yes. So I was very particular who I would sit by. Do you know, my church asked me to get in the choir. Not because I sing well. Actually, I sing so bad that sometimes when I'm singing, I hit a note and it hinders me from praising God. I turn the music up so loud that it drowns me 100% out because I don't want to hear myself sing. It bothers me. I don't make a joyful noise. I make a joyful racket. At least it's joyful. And so we need to praise God together. We need to praise God in church together. We need to come with a mentality of praising the Lord. So the root of praise is faith. The root of worry is fear. So praise is the root. It comes out of the root of faith. If you're worrying, it comes out of the root of fear. When we understand God and God's love toward us, it says perfect love does what?
Cast
out all fear. When you understand God, it gets rid of worry. When you understand the Lord, it gets rid of worry. Not that you won't plan, not that you won't get things together, not that you won't think and plan things out, but it gets rid of the worry process. What if this doesn't work? What if this doesn't happen? Blah, blah, blah. There was a time in my life where I had to come to a point and I said, Lord, I don't know how this is going to come out, but I trust you. I trust you, Lord. I'm going to quit worrying about it. I'm going to quit trying to make things happen. I'm going to do everything I know to do, everything I'm led to do, but I'm going to quit worrying about it, and I just trust you. You can take care of me no matter where I am. You may be trying to save me from something. I have no idea, but I trust you. I trust you. And so that praise comes out of faith. If we're worrying, that comes out of fear. Now, praising God should be planting the word in your heart. How do we praise God? If it's not for the word, we wouldn't know how to praise God. We wouldn't even know what to say to the Lord if it wasn't for the word. It's out of the word that we praise him. We praise him. I quote the word and praise him. There are hymnals. There are some people who will quote a scripture, and I can't help but to start singing it in my head because it was an old hymnal we used to sing. Yes. And there are songs that are rooted. Can I tell you, I did not grow up in a Word of Faith church. I did not grow up in a church that was rooted and grounded in faith 100%. But they would sing some songs that were rooted and grounded in faith. They would sing a song. I'm not going to sing it. I'm just going to tell you the words. It's going to be very hard for me to fight not to sing it. But it goes, I have what I've heard. According to God's word, victory today is mine. I love that song. My church, when you would say, well, I'm praying for this. Well, whatever be the will of God. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. They wouldn't stand up, but they would sing it. They would sing, I have what I've heard according to God's word. Victory today is mine. They would never say that out of their mouth, but they would sing it. They would be like, well, brother, we just don't know. So maybe this is your cross to bear. We just don't know. But yet, they would sing a powerful statement that if God's word says it, I believe it and it is mine. It is mine. And so when we sing that, those, it may not be pure scripture. It may not be quoting a scripture, but they draw it from scripture. You're not going to find, I have what I heard according to God's word, quoted word for word in scripture, but you will find scriptures that say that.
Yes.
You will find scriptures that say, when you pray, believe that you receive. One, it says, pray not in a mist. In other words, don't pray out of just, you know, out of your head. Pray out of the word of God. Pray out of God's word. Don't pray in a mist. Pray out of God's word. And when you pray what God's word says you can have, know, be confident that you shall have it.
Exactly.
So there's scripture to back that up. They just say it in a different way.
Right.
So the praise and worship should be planting the word in our hearts. Can I tell you, preaching is not the only way. Me standing up here is not the only way that the gospel gets spread.
Right.
It gets spread in praise and worship. It gets spread in prayer. There's different ways that the word of God gets spread. And this is praise and worship is just as much as church as me preaching.
Mm-hmm.
Hello? If it's done scripturally and it's done right, it's just as much as there. So I don't like this. Well, we pastor started preaching. We finally got into the service. No, the service begins when you walk through that door. Actually, it never ends. When you leave here, you're still in service.
Right.
Church is nothing but a school to learn what you should do in the world.
Yes. Yep.
This is just school to teach you what you need to do out there.
Yes.
This is not a place where you just come get refreshed and leave. I've already gone over my time. I've already gone way too long this morning. Where did I stop? Because there's just so much more that I wanted to say. Praising God should be planting the word. I'm just going to read a couple scriptures and I'm ending. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. What should we be doing with the wisdom of God? The Bible tells us right here, teaching it, lifting each other up, quoting it, singing it. That's what we should be doing with the wisdom of God. We should be talking to one another about the wisdom of God. We should be sharing our praise reports. We should be, just scripture, something, this is interesting to me. Sometimes scripture goes off in my heart and I share it with someone, it blesses someone else, and they share what they got. This scripture kind of goes along with that. And before it's over, we're preaching one to another, admonishing each other, lifting each other up, building each other up, edifying each other. That's what the wisdom of God is used for. It should be saying, because when we sing their songs, it lift up our heart. There's a couple songs that I know when I'm feeling bad, I go to certain songs that lift me up. If I ever feel like depression's trying to keep creeping or something might seem impossible, there are two songs. I ain't singing them to you and I ain't going through them. But there's two Christian songs that I sing that bless my heart, that encourage me. And I sing those things to myself to lift me up. And that's what the Word of God is used for, is to lift yourself up. Sometimes we have friends to help us lift up. But you know what? If it's only you, you have enough to lift yourself up. You have enough to lift yourself up. All right, Psalms, write this down. Psalms 50 and 23. Whoso offers praise glorifies me. Whoever offers up praise glorifies the Lord. And to him the order of his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Now I'm going to read that same scripture. I think it makes it a little more clear out of the Bible in Living English. He who makes thanksgiving his sacrifice is paying me honor. God is saying here, whoever praises me, especially when you have to sacrifice to praise me, when you have to praise me when you don't feel like it, you are paying me honor. Have you ever thought about paying the Lord? Like having to pay for the Lord? Like the Lord worked for you 40 hours this week, and so you got to pay him a minimum of minimum wage, $7.25 an hour. Is that what minimum wage is? I don't know. And so if you had to pay the Lord by hour, you would probably be in a mess load of trouble. Because one, you can't afford the Lord. You cannot afford somebody with his talents in your natural self. But the awesome thing is God says here, when you sacrifice, you're paying me honor. When you praise the Lord, you're giving back to the Lord. You're giving to him. Hello? Now, let's continue reading. And to him who holds to his course, I will give the sight of salvation. Well, hold to what course? The course of praising. God says here, who will offer and glorify me, to him that orders his conversation aright, I will show him the salvation. Order what conversation? Praise that comes out of your mouth. God is saying, that person that honors me with praise, honors me with worship, honors me with the words that come out of their mouth, if they will hold the course, I will show them my salvation. God is saying, if you will have a life of praise, you will have a life of seeing the salvation of God. The Bible says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord come to pass. So this is what God, what his people need to be doing. It's not that we need to put our hands to something to make something happen. We always follow God, but praise better be a part of it, because God has guaranteed us, if we honor him, he will honor us. And the scripture says, I will help if you hold to the course. If you'll hold on to what you've been doing, if you'll hold on to praise, God says, I will show you my salvation every time. The man or woman who praises me continually will always see my salvation. Not that your praise is like a magic wand. It is a condition of the heart. You're obeying the word. And as you obey the word, you will get the result that the word says you will have. This can happen for anyone. It's not special because of you. It's just a law God has put into place. You want his salvation. You want his victory. Then his word better be on your mouth. His praise better be in your home. His praise better be in your car and at work. It better become a lifestyle to you. It better become a lifestyle. You want to know why your pastor isn't ripped? Not like ripped in half, but like ripped. You want to know why? Because I run maybe once every week. It's not a lifestyle. You want to know why I don't have bigger gun shows than what I have? Is because I lift maybe once every 2 weeks. And if I want to have something different, I'm going to have to make it a lifestyle. But you know what? Pecan pie is calling me more than my lifestyle of working out.
Which is so
So if we want to have salvation in our life all the time, if we want to have victory in our life all the time, praise and worship must become a lifestyle. Must become a lifestyle. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for